Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Steve-O.
Yeah, dude. Welcome to Shock Therapy Live. Steve-O, Teo, Pastor Nate Heitzig.
Dude.
Yeah, bro.
We are here.
We are live in studio, and couldn't be more excited because one of my favorite hours of the week, we get to hang out and just talk about relationships and
other crazy stuff.
And yeah.
Fun
well, today
stuff,
is what is today? Embarrass yourself day?
It's awkward moment.
Awkward moment day. And I feel like we champion that cause regularly. So it's also Forgive Your Mom and Dad Day.
Ooh.
And we talk.
Wait, that's not fair. It can be 2 days.
I don't know.
I feel like that should be illegal.
Yeah.
Like, wait. What? Imagine it's like, hey, it's Christmas, but it's also Easter.
Yeah.
It's true. It's also biodiesel
that's not fair.
Day.
It is biodiesel.
What's
day
up?
As well.
Why are there 3 days all in one?
Oh, dude, that's how they do. There's only 365 days.
Tomorrow,
exactly.
There's
only allowed to be 365 really? Things to celebrate
that's,
in a year.
Nope, can't do that because then somebody inevitably is not going to be
recognized.
Yes, recognized, and therefore they're going to cause quite a stir. In fact, our story of the day, facebook.com/mystaticradio, a school in Portland had to suspend one form of discipline because parents were irate about it. I guess according to studies, in-school suspension, expulsion, extra homework, all of the things that schools have been doing aren't working very well. And so this one school in Portland, they tried to adopt
Pink bellies. I'm just trying to guess it.
Community service. Hey, if you were caught throwing food in the cafeteria, your punishment? Cleaning up the mess in the cafeteria. Well, parents jumped on the school's back and said, "Hey, this is humiliating. You can't make our kids, you know, clean the bathrooms or clean the cafeteria."
To which the schools replied, "You're humiliating for having crappy kids."
I wish the school replied like that. Unfortunately, in 2015, the school replied, "We are currently suspending the form of community service, and we are looking to adopt a new form of discipline for our students." Hang yeah. tight.
Said they're going to investigate the appropriateness of it.
Yeah. And so, you know, but we had plenty of parents and teachers calling this morning saying that it seemed fair. And yet, if somebody's upset or offended.
I think the news story should have read, "School opens sweatshop for disciplined kids, begins making tennis shoes."
Yeah.
Nike factory. And that would be the next
Nike factory in Portland.
New Nike factory in Portland.
But, you know,
get your First Baptist school shoes.
That's kind of why we have shows like Shock Therapy Live, because if someone feels offended, well, we don't want to offend that person, and so we need to be sensitive to everyone. And yet these are conversations that need to be had. So if you have a question, maybe you're going through something in a relationship, whether it's a marriage, school relationship, a coworker, whatever it may be, or just something in your life that you're not having a solid time dealing with. Maybe you don't know how to react to something that's happened to you. Mm. Maybe you feel like you've been wronged or you've been hurt. Or maybe you were the one that did that and you just need to know how to course correct that. That's what we're here for. Facebook.com/mystaticradio is the way to get a hold of us. There's multiple ways. You can give us a call as well.
Yeah.
505-338-3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. Or, you know, being that it is Shock Therapy Live, we do get a lot of sensitive subject matter. So if you'd like to keep it anonymous, you can do so. studio@mystaticradio.com is our email address. That's studio@mystaticradio.com.
But as always, we always take give a little more preference to phone calls.
So
absolutely. If you really want your question answered, call in.
Yeah.
You can even say that you're anonymous. You can even talk like this if you want to.
Well, what's interesting is we don't have a producer anymore, so we're going to have to be answering the phones ourselves. Dougie's got a real job now, guys.
Yeah,
Dougie graduated, and now he's not a producer.
What is he?
He's doing production in the other room.
Oh.
He's still here. He's just, you know, he got a real job.
He's managing more production.
Wouldn't it be cool if Darth Vader called and was like, "Hey, I've got kind of a strained relationship with my son."
Exactly.
It's estranged.
You know, that's exactly
I
what's
said
happening
estranged.
In the comic book right now.
It's estranged.
It's estranged. So it's both words
it's
work.
Both. Here's the thing, maybe.
I thought you were trying to correct me.
No.
And I was like,
maybe,
what?
Nate, I know not to correct you, buddy.
I will poke you in the eyeball.
I like
maybe,
my job.
Just maybe, if Darth Vader had Shock Therapy Live, Return of the Jedi would have gone quite differently. He probably would have known how to better handle everything. In fact, maybe, just maybe, if there was Shock Therapy Live, we wouldn't even have the new trilogy old trilogy. Which would be, I mean, I'm glad we didn't have Shock Therapy Live then. But,
thank
but
God for family strife.
If young Anakin had Shock Therapy Live, then maybe he wouldn't have tried to kill his mentor.
He wouldn't. We'd never have Darth Vader.
And his bride.
Man, I'm so glad there's not biblical counselors in Star Wars Land.
Me too. But I'm glad that Star Wars Land is real.
It'd be terrible. It'd be terrible. That'd
he
be so bad.
He would have known how better to handle his anger issue.
That'd be so
That's
bad.
You get a Jedi for that.
Yeah. Or you just go to a class here at Calvary, like when good men get angry. Because we actually have that. Pastor Eric Lamb and we actually have stuff for that.
Man,
thankfully, Darth Vader didn't
I'm glad Eric Lamb isn't in Star Wars Land.
Me too.
Eric Lamb would have just roundhouse kicked Darth Vader to the face.
This is true.
He would have knocked his helmet off.
Would have been done.
Man,
dude, did you guys want to know something funny?
What?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So there's so many jokes that are within this.
Yeah, okay. Of course.
But I used it in my sermon because I was talking about celebrities love starting charities.
Of course.
And a bunch of celebrities start different charities. Do you want to know what charity? Chuck Norris founded?
What?
Kickstart for Kids.
Oh. Are you being snarky? Or
no, that's he literally started Kickstart for Kids. And there are so many Chuck Norris jokes in there, but they all involve kicking children in the face, so we're not going to share
that. And that is not acceptable behavior. Therefore, just moving right along.
Moving right along.
Shock Therapy Live with Pastor Nate Heitzig, Steve-O, Teo with you as well, and taking your questions. We do have a few email questions we need to get to.
But we're not going to. We're going to have a party.
Somebody scream.
My static radio.
Somebody. That's a good party.
Guys!
What?
I'm trying so hard.
Nothing like that's a good rave song.
Yeah.
Somebody scream!
Oh, man. And then everybody just throws up their hands.
Yeah. Let the party set the flow.
Nope.
Let the party set the flow.
It's a Disturbed
Speaking
remix.
Speaking of good parties somebody scream! And things going on, Hillsong Young and Free. When I think of techno, that's what I think of. They're actually coming to Calvary Albuquerque. So details on that, calvaryabq.org.
It takes two to make a thing all right.
C&C Music Factory.
Oh,
Calvary
it takes two to make an outside.
Chapel.
Dude, you know the guy who produced and mixed that is mixing our new record?
Really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Bob Rosa.
Okay.
Nice.
He mixed Backstreet Boys. He mixed Michael Jackson. Yeah. He mixed a lot of big guys.
We have Tam on from
awesome,
Battle Drums
dude.
Every Tuesday for
we also,
Quality Tam Tuesday.
Dude, we also had Tom Lord Alge mix a track for us.
Really?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Guys!
Genuinely impressed.
Shut
no,
up!
That's crazy.
Dude.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Blink-182.
Studio at mystaticradio.com. That's studio at mystaticradio.com. I am determined to get us on
His
track.
Brother, Chris Lord Alge or whatever.
Yeah.
He's an awesome mixer. Guys have, those are huge names. They have mixing sample packs that you can buy on Pro Tools that are hundreds of dollars.
Yeah.
Just to get their sounds.
Yeah, they're
amazing.
Pretty phenomenal.
So Battle Drums album is going to sound incredible.
Dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stoked.
I pooped my pants the first time I listened to it.
I just did again.
Man, that's so awesome.
I did it
You
earlier.
Didn't even hear it.
I know. It's silent, but deadly.
Ooh. Poop joke.
This is why I'm the host. Gosh.
Yeah, why don't you rein it in, Steve-O?
Studio at mystaticradio.com. That's studio at mystaticradio.com.
Yep.
We are here for you. Serious questions. It's Shock Therapy Live.
Gosh.
And so far, just compelling.
All right, we'll start.
I think we should have people call. Do they like hearing us answer questions more?
3700.
Or talk about stupid things
more? Listener poll.
Yeah.
It's a poll.
338-3700. That's 338-3700. Now we do have a couple email questions to get to.
Right.
Here we go. Whew, rated it in.
I have a question for Nate and Steve-O.
Okay.
My question. I have a brother who is 5 years older than I am, and we have been close since we were young. In the last couple of years, he started to smoke weed, and it has gone from a few times a week to a few times a day. It's also really put a damper on our relationship, as I hate to be around him when he's high.
Yeah.
He still goes to church every Sunday and was even asked to lead a Bible study at his church. Anytime the subject of him smoking weed comes up, he is quick to defend himself, and more often than not, the conversation goes nowhere. His many rebuttals include, you speed every day and that's breaking the law, or people take painkillers or sleeping pills and those alter your state of mind. How do I love him through this but be firm in not supporting this lifestyle he has chosen? You guys rock, thanks.
You know, I have a bunch of biblical answers, but I think the best person to answer this, honestly, is Steve-O, because you've dealt with you know, brother issues and probably excuses and reasons why, you know, they do what they do. And I think you might be able to give a little more life wisdom in this situation.
What's frustrating is anytime they take the focus off themselves, it's just going to become quarrelsome, because immediately the brother says, well, what about when you speed? Or what about, because he's not actually defending what he's doing. He's just trying not to have to answer.
He's deflecting.
Absolutely. Deflecting to something else so that he doesn't have to have an actual response, because what he is doing is illegal. I'm assuming they live in the state of New Mexico. And period, the end, that is illegal. And so he's in taking an illegal substance on the huge, and flat out, it's not okay.
And again, if you compare it to speeding, let's just hit that speeding for a second.
Yeah.
Speeding is wrong in the eyes of man. Yeah. It's not wrong in the eyes of God.
Yeah.
Getting high is wrong in the eyes of man and of God.
Yeah, and talking about taking an illegal substance or taking a substance that alters your state, here's the deal with that. We've talked about this in the past. You're talking about a doctor prescribing, say, Vicodin or something of the sort because you had a major surgery or whatever it is. This is doctor prescribed. If this dude is not getting a prescription from a doctor, that entire argument is moot, because it's completely invalid, because he has nothing to stand on saying, oh, well, what about the dude in the hospital that's taking morphine? It's like, oh, the dude that just had a kidney transplant? Are you freaking kidding me? That's your rebuttal?
Yeah.
So I'm being kind of snarky with it. But
and I think even if they want to say, well, you know, what about speeding? You do that every day. I think a good answer to that, honestly, is, you know what? You're right, and that's wrong, but it doesn't make what you're doing any less
wrong
either.
And that's it. You're trying to point to somebody else saying, yeah, but what about this guy? This guy, you know, did this or that and the other, because they don't want to have to give an answer for the sin in their life. And that's with all sins. The deflection tactic is great when you're talking to somebody who doesn't want to have to hear the gospel, because they're like, well, what about this pastor who fell? Or what about that Christian over there? Because the comparison should never be another Christian. The point is Jesus. And I think that's where we get into trouble, period, the end, is trying to compare ourselves with somebody else. Well, hey, I'm not this guy who was totally embezzling thousands of dollars in his ministry, or I'm not that guy who was sleeping with his secretary, or I'm not this, that, and the other, and we excuse and excuse and excuse, and it doesn't give an answer for our own sin.
So let me ask you this, because I think, you know, the deeper thing here is this guy's his brother, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's tough to deal with family and things like that, especially when family keeps making the wrong decisions and you just want them to make the right decisions. What would you say to that, Shibo? Because I know you've dealt with that firsthand.
Well, it sounds like it just gets quarrelsome, and the idea of in the email saying, hey, you know, it seems like every single time we kick it, this is what happens. I would make a solid stand. You have to, there's no point in arguing, because it sounds like this brother already has made it up in his own mind that this is the lifestyle he wants to lead, and he's going to justify it with 17 different tactics. Oh, well, I'm going to try this tactic. Oh, you've totally destroyed that argument. Well, what about this argument? Well, what about that argument? He has never actually pointed to his own sin. And so no matter what, you can't talk somebody. I love what your dad always said. You can't talk somebody into Jesus. And if you try and do that, somebody smarter can talk them out of it. You never want to try and talk anybody into anything.
Yeah.
So within your brother's heart, if your brother is solidly taking a stand that this is the lifestyle they want to lead, there is zero point in arguing at this point. You clearly have to make your stand and say, hey, as for me and my house, this is how my family is choosing to be.
Amen.
You're going to live this lifestyle? Man, I can't condone that. You are my family, and
that's
I
good.
Love you. But in this area, this is it. What you're doing is illegal, and I can't be a part of that. And if this is what you're going to do, I don't want to be around illegal activity, because you're now incriminating me. So,
dude, find out where his stash is and call the cops.
You know, it's like, I love you, but I cannot be around this.
Or
and
feed
I
it to the dog.
You know? Mm. Yeah, dude. Mm. Right. Yeah, because that, oh, that's
you
just gonna,
probably, in New Mexico, you'd probably get in more trouble for feeding it to the dog.
Probably, actually. Yeah. Animal rights would be on
Peter!
You.
Peter!
So, but honestly, I mean, you truly just have to take a stand
Peter
with that.
The face.
There's no point in quarreling anymore. There's no point in arguing because it sounds like you've already made multiple arguments for your case as to why it's wrong. And your brother just wants to excuse his lifestyle. And until your brother has truly been broken and has that heart correction within himself, nothing's going to happen. I finally had to just pray and give my family member over to the Lord and say, Lord, this dude is yours. You love him more than even I do. Please freaking do something.
Yeah. Now I do think, you know, he's active at the church. I think okay. It's okay to really confront that head on.
Yeah.
No matter what excuses he has, to kind of say something to him to the effect of, look, it doesn't matter what excuses you have for other people's sin.
Yeah.
Your sin is still sin and you can't excuse that.
Yeah.
And as someone who goes to church, he should be able to receive that. It, to a certain extent, recognizing that, look, it doesn't matter what excuses you have for what other people do, that doesn't excuse you from sinning. That doesn't excuse you from messing up. And that's what the Bible says. The Bible says that each one of us is going to give our own account. It's not like you're going to get to heaven. He's like, hey, so you smoked pot. And you can say, yeah, but everyone else took Tylenol, bro. And Jesus, oh, okay, you got me.
Dude,
come on in.
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, come on in. Come
We're
on.
Each going to give our own account
Party's
for the things
the
that we've did in this life. And
yeah.
So as somebody who goes to church, he should recognize that and realize that it doesn't matter what other people do. Look, I don't care if other people are, you know, sitting around snorting cocaine and having sex with hookers. It doesn't excuse you from smoking pot every day.
Right.
It doesn't matter what anyone else does. It matters what you do. Yeah. And so stop blaming other people for your excuse to sin. Yeah. You're responsible for your decisions. You're responsible for your actions. And man up and realize that you're an adult. You're not a little kid.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's it. That's absolutely it. I was talking to your dad and Beenix about this very thing yesterday because I think a lot of times we can excuse something because we see somebody else doing it.
It literally is like a little kid.
It absolutely.
Why'd you bite your brother? Because he took my toy.
Right. It's reactionary. It's ridiculous. And as we're gearing up for Easter, you know, I've been studying and I've been taking a look at the life of Peter and talking about the implementation of the Lord's Supper. And right after that, Jesus is like, bro, bestie, you're going to deny me three times. Yeah, right. I'll never. Oh, I love you. And yet Jesus is like, hey, pay attention to this. Heed this warning. You're going to deny me. And Satan's like straight up asking for you. And I'm praying that you don't fail. But hey, when you return, as in you're going to, but when you return, here's the prayer. And
dude.
So, but looking at the way Peter responded, he still in the very next verse went up to the mountain with Jesus. He still was like, but I'm here with you now and I've got your back. And I think the difference is there are those that will excuse sin and say this, that, and the other because I don't want it to change my lifestyle.
Mm.
And then there are those that say, dude, I have failed you. I am broken and I need to repent and turn away. And I think there's a ginormous difference, and the church needs to differentiate the two because
Amen.
Right now it's like, well, I'm just a sinner. I'm never going to be good enough. I'm never going to change. This is never going to change. And while we all battle and we all have different struggles, and hashtag the struggle is real, there's a difference between struggling with something and outright living a blatant lifestyle contrary to the Word of God. And we have got to recognize that because, man, Christ wants to have compassion. Christ wants to show us grace and give us love and say, hey, you don't have to be like this. You don't have to live like this.
Mm.
Come here. You know, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. But you do have to make that lifestyle change. It's hey, what you did yesterday. All right, shh, my mercies are new every day. But stop.
go and
sin no more.
Stop it.
It off, bro. You know, and so I think with the brother, again, not to beat a dead horse, until he comes to a place of repentance and turn, there's no use in quarreling over this because he sounds like he's got it set in his mind that what he's doing is totally illegal, but he has absolutely made 100 different excuses for his sin, for his
behavior.
Dude,
think about I wonder what Judas thought, like when Jesus told Peter, you're going to deny me three times. He's like,
right. Well, I'm only denied him once.
Don't look at me.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
Oh, man, Peter. Really messing up, man.
That's crazy, bro.
I'm killing the savior.
We should use some of this money I'm stealing to start a fund for...
a GoFundMe.
We should use this to start a fund for people who are judged for being traitors.
Yeah.
But it's true. That's what I've been looking at. I'm guest speaking this weekend, and that's exactly what I'm talking about, because I think we want those people to be our heroes in scripture, because it's like, Peter was an idiot. Oh, phew, I'm in good company. Yeah, but God also built his church upon Peter, because Peter was still faithful in areas. And Peter, though he fell, he got back up. And I think there are times where we just stay down in the muck and the mire, and we're like, yeah, well...
The mucky muck.
I'm a screw-up anyway, so I'm just going to stay here. There's no point. And there is a point. And so, anyways.
I like it.
Shock Therapy Live, like to chime in, facebook.com/mystaticradio. Phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. Or, of course, if you'd like to ask a question anonymously, studio@mystaticradio.com. That's studio@mystaticradio.com. We've got a lot of email questions to get to.
We do.
Next one!
We actually got this one a couple of weeks ago, and we haven't gotten a chance to get to it. Anonymous, I recently rededicated my life, but I look at pornography, and it's hard to make love to my wife because of the guilt and stuff. It's hard to talk to people at church for fear of rejection or judgment, and friends at the gym tell me there's nothing wrong with that. It's just in my head, what I do is what I do. My wife and I hardly see each other because of work. That's not an excuse, but the situation, what do I do? Please keep me anonymous.
Man. So it sounds like he's really, I mean, he must be really deep into it if he's having a hard time making love to his wife because he's thinking about those images instead of her. Yeah. And so I imagine he's pretty deep into it.
And very isolated, it sounds like. He's not talking to anybody at church.
Yeah.
The people he is talking to are terrible company because they're excusing his sin. And
go for it.
Well, a couple of things. I think, one, you need an accountability partner. Yeah. You don't have to go around and publicize it on the church bulletin board. Hey, I whack off to pornography.
Right.
But I think you do need to find a buddy who, you know, can relate with you, someone who you can be honest with, and somebody who can ask you the tough questions. Say, hey, how are you doing with pornography? How are you doing with masturbation? Are you keeping yourself back from it?
Right.
You need to have a friend in your life who can keep you accountable. Mm-hmm. There's also a few resources that you can use that can help you keep accountable. One is a great resource, Triple X Church.
Yes.
There's a program that they offer for free called X3 Watch that you can download on your phone, on your tablet, on your computer. And what it does is it just kind of runs in the background, and anytime you visit a questionable site, and I got to tell you, this thing, I've got it on my computer.
Yeah.
I know a lot of the pastors here have it on their computer. I know a lot of friends who have it because it's just a great resource to keep yourself accountable with.
Yep.
Anytime you go to any questionable website, I mean, like if you look at an article on USA Today, or you go and look at a YouTube video that isn't even pornographic, but just could, you know, even the title could be questionably. Like I have a jean company that I like to wear called Naked and Famous.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I searched that, and a little ding came up, and I was like, hey, Nate, what's Naked and Famous?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it really does screen everything. It's a great resource, and it can help keep you accountable. And what it does is once a week it sends it out to 5 accountability partners, or you can choose one. You can choose however many you want to, and it lets them know, hey, these questionable sites were visited. So there's those resources that can help as well. But I really think the biggest thing is, I think, to a certain extent, you got to really have a heart change with it in order for it to be effective.
Yeah.
And that's what I've seen. People who are trying to get out of that. I found that people who are really stuck in a life-altering sin, generally, and I'm going to say this generally, there's always exceptions, but generally, there's been a downfall in their relationship and their proximity to the Lord. Yeah. They're probably not having their quiet times on a daily basis, so I would ask this guy, how often are you reading your Bible? Yeah. How often are you spending time in prayer? How serious are you in your walk with God? Because usually, in order to have that kind of a life-altering sin, there's got to be a breakdown in your relationship with Christ.
Yeah.
It's very hard to have a strong relationship with Christ and be stuck in a life-altering sin. It doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And so if you're stuck in a life-altering sin like that, I would really question, how serious is your walk with God? And I think more than looking at the symptoms, you got to look at the heart and see where your heart is. Because if you have a strong walk with God, I found the times in my life when I'm really walking with God, I'm really not sinning very much. The times when I'm not, the times when I have a breakdown in my fellowship with God, is the times that I fall into sin.
Yeah.
And so I really think you got to look at that and ask yourself those questions and start diving into the Word. Start really reading the Word of God and digging into your quiet time and your fellowship with the Lord. Not reading a book, reading the Bible.
Yeah.
Not reading a devotional, reading the Bible.
I would also point to a comment you made as far as, hey, my wife and I barely see each other. Then if that is recognized, you need to be intentional with every moment you have with your wife. I can't stress that enough. You know, my wife and I, we have opposite schedules. I wake up 4 o'clock in the morning because I got a morning show to do, and I get off of work early, but she doesn't. So she gets home late, and then we got kids, and we got to, you know, we got to get dinner ready, and then we got kids getting ready for bed, or if they've got Little League, whatever it is. So my wife and I ultimately,
it's like, hey, it's 8 o'clock, it's sex time.
Okay.
Like maybe, that kind of intentional?
Maybe not that intentional. It's, and the funny thing is, I'm like, wow, 8 o'clock. I wish we could wrap up all the
tired
kid stuff.
I'm gonna go to bed.
Yeah, because then next thing you know, it's 9 o'clock, and I'm like, well, honey, I gotta go to bed because I gotta get up at 4 a.m. So our time is, man, I need valuable time with my wife, but it's few and far between, and so we have to be very intentional when we have that time, not to just go, all right, what's on the TV tonight? All right, what are we gonna do? We were talking about making sure that we are still dating. Hey, we should date. let's make it every effort to once a week, once every other, however often you can. Let's go out on a date. Let's do something. Let's create these times, because when your time is so limited and, you know, your time is spent more with co-workers or friends, what relationships are you developing? Are they good relationships? Are they bad relationships? Because as it stands, it sounds like you're isolated a lot. The people that you do surround yourself with, at least at the gym, are totally just kind of excusing your behavior. So that's not the company you want to keep. I immediately thought of Psalm, like not Psalms chapter 1, where it talks about, you know, standing in the way of sinners and the company that you're keeping. Because if you are allowing these
walk
people
in the path of sinners, sit in the seat of the scornful.
Do you,
no, wait, walk in the path of sinners, stand in the, wait, I don't know.
You can do it.
Something.
I believe in you.
Those who know.
Just go read Psalm 1 and stop hanging out with your gym friends. I'm just kidding. But really, it sounds like the people that you are surrounding yourself with are kind of condoning that lifestyle, and yet you're not getting a lot of time with your wife. Intentionality.
Stop going to the gym.
Talk to your wife about that.
Stop roiding out and start hanging out with your wife.
Okay.
Or when you go to the gym, just pick smarter people to hang out with.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Be intentional with your wife. Have a conversation with her. And you may need to have a tough conversation with her if you've never had this conversation. Hey,
wait. Jesus juke.
Yeah.
Stop lifting weights and start lifting the name of Jesus.
Okay.
Wow.
That was
a good
so...
one.
That was heavy.
You could sell a million t-shirts. You probably could.
Thank you. Ugh. At Mercy Me concerts.
Thank you. Oh, man. I don't even think Bart Millard would allow you to sell that at his concert. He'd be like, dude, that's cheesy.
At Carmen concerts.
Now that might fly.
Carmen's touring again.
The champion. Is.
So anyways, all that to say, you really need to take a hard look at your heart, to the lifestyle that you're leading. And I would also say you need to pray that God would bring accountability people into your life who care. Because I do understand on one note the idea of feeling isolated, because you're like, dude, they're going to judge me. But you are in turn prejudging every Christian you run across by saying, I can't tell anybody because everyone's just going to judge me. That's not true. There are some incredible godly men that I've encountered in my life who have been compassionate, who have said, dude, I want to be here for you. I want to hold you accountable. I want to help you break this because I love you, whatever the sin is in your life. And so I don't believe that everyone is prejudging and that you can't turn to anyone, because there are absolutely godly people in this world who want to see you leading a godly lifestyle. Mm. And so pray that God would bring those people into your life, that you would have that opportunity to be vulnerable, to share, that God would give you boldness to share the struggle in your life. Because as long as you are isolated and alone in your sin, Satan's just going to keep picking you off because you're an easy target. You're standing in a field by yourself. So, yeah.
Like American Sniper.
I've never seen it! I want to see it so badly.
You haven't seen that movie?
I know, and everybody's like, bro, I've seen it 3 times.
Are you even a Republican?
I
Yeah, Steve-O.
We really need to have
Which is hilarious.
We need to have a come-to-Bush moment.
My super...
Yeah.
My super conservative.
We're having a come to Reagan moment right now.
There you go. There you go. That's I like that one better. My super
come to
conservative
Ronald sounds stranger,
father-in-law
so
who's like,
stranger.
Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, here's this book. I actually have a copy of American Sniper. He's like, you need to read this. And I haven't read it.
He said like this.
On my copy table.
You need to read this if you're an American.
Yeah, pretty much. He also served in the military, and he's one of like the manliest, awesomest dudes I know. So, yeah. I adhere to him a lot, what he says. Yeah,
mostly
sure,
if
man.
You don't, he'll shoot you.
Yeah. Because he's a lifetime NRA member.
Oh.
Never piss him off.
It is Shock Therapy Live, and man, we're here for you. Maybe the conversation thus far has spawned something in you going, man, I do need to talk to somebody about this. If you'd like to keep it anonymous.
I don't think anybody's listening right
studio.
Now.
Studio.
They're listening.
No, nobody's listening.
MySatRadio.com.
Not a single person. If somebody is listening, man. Will you call us right now? Just to make us feel better.
Just so that we know.
If you're actually listening.
That's studio
you're out
at
there.
MyStaticRadio.com. We want to hear from you. And man, we...
Listeners, if you're really out there, will you say something to
we
me?
We do have a few email questions that we still need to get to, including one that we received that, man. You ready?
Say
yeah.
something.
All right, here we go. My question. While I'm sure this topic has already been covered, I have a question about forgiveness. In particular, forgiving others who do not ask for and do not want or believe they need forgiveness from me. My wife had an affair with a man who she knew was married. He viewed it as just sex and saw nothing wrong with what he did. I've wrestled with the logic of forgiving him, and this is what I've come up with. We are to forgive as Christ forgives us. With a repentant heart, we ask for forgiveness, for we know we have sinned. So without a repentant heart and a request, he does not get forgiven by me. I've asked God to take this, and if God finds it appropriate to forgive him, then for that forgiveness to come from me as well. I struggle with this often, and it is hard to forget when I constantly hear about forgiving those who have wronged you. I hope I'm making sense and I can get some input on this. Thank you for your ministry. I listen to Static daily, and I am grateful God has blessed me with such an amazing radio station.
This is what I would say, because what it sounds like to me is that the wife has probably asked for forgiveness, and it sounds like he and the wife have maybe restored.
Reconciled, restored.
But this man has not asked for forgiveness.
Yeah.
It's really hard. I'm just going to start off in saying that. It's really hard, and it's possible to forgive and still be pissed.
Yeah.
Because I believe that forgiveness is a lot like love. It's got to start with the heart, and the emotions will follow.
Yeah.
Much like with your wife, I'm sure when you guys started restoring, you forgave her in your heart, but emotionally, you still had a really hard time loving her. Emotionally, you had a really hard time being around her. And it starts with the heart, and the emotions follow. And it really goes to what we talk about love, that love is not a passing emotion. Love is a constant devotion. And so when you forgive with your heart, when you devote yourself to forgiving, eventually the emotions follow. And forgiveness is something that is given whether it's asked for or not.
Man, I'm so glad you started with that. I immediately thought of Romans chapter 5 where it said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sins.
Because
he didn't wait for us to ask for forgiveness or even care about forgiveness. He died on a cross for us.
Amen.
And so it immediately reminded me of an opportunity for this man to exhibit and really exude Christ in this, in his forgiveness.
And so I think that's huge, that forgiveness has got to start with a devotion to forgiveness.
Yes.
And once that devotion comes, the emotion of forgiveness will eventually get there.
Yeah.
It might take 25 years.
Right.
But it'll eventually come.
Yeah. And in a perfect world, in a perfect situation, this guy would realize his sin and come back to you and say, please forgive me. To which it would be so simple to go, oh, man, you know what? You're broken. I see. I forgive you. It's like, and scene. Oh, man.
You know,
yes!
it's incredible what forgiveness can do and how it can break down barriers and boundaries. You see all the time, not all the time, but I have seen frequently, that parents have had maybe a child murdered or an older adult that is still their child murdered. And the murderer doesn't ask for forgiveness.
Right.
But in court, the parents, you know, through tears say, I forgive you. You haven't asked for it, but I forgive you. And I've seen how that has changed the lives of these murderers where they've broken down and said, I'm sorry. And up to that point, they hadn't. But when they realize that they can be forgiven for that iniquity, that transgression, what it does in their lives, forgiveness is is an incredibly powerful thing. And so, I think that it's got to start with that devotion, though, to forgiveness. And I think forgiveness has to be a lifestyle.
Absolutely.
You've got to live a lifestyle of forgiveness. You don't just, you know, forgive this, but not forgive that. You've got to have a lifestyle of forgiveness that recognizes that because you have been forgiven of much, you can forgive others of much as well.
Amen.
And I think it comes with the reality of understanding that your sin, and when you take stock of who you are, the sin in your life, it becomes a lot easier to forgive other people because it begins to be like Paul, where you say that you're the chief of sinners. Hmm. When you look at your spiritual bank account, you look at the sins that you've committed both outwardly and inwardly, you realize that, that you're the most guilty of all. And it becomes a lot easier to live a lifestyle of forgiveness that people can wrong you. And much like it says in Matthew, that if somebody takes your cloak, they sue you for your cloak, give them your tunic also. Yeah. And I think that true forgiveness is willing to take anything from anybody and give anything to anybody. And so I think that that's really the perspective we have to have. And it's a lifestyle. It's not just a thing that you do.
And talk about being able to share the love of Jesus and the power of God. Because if you can share that story to anyone and say, this human being, you know, chose this lifestyle, has not said it, but I've put this to rest. I have forgiven this person. The power that others will see in that grace, in that love, in that mercy, in that kindness, because as that lifestyle, if you can lead that lifestyle, amen. Absolutely. I thought of a friend. We have a friend who was struck by, I believe, a
lightning?
Drunk driver. No, oh. By a drunk driver, and it caused. I mean, there was damage, medical issues, and same situation to where she was able to stand up in court and profess the forgiveness of Jesus in her life and how she could forgive him.
Wow.
It's transforming. It's very transformative to be able to look at somebody who has wronged you, who doesn't care, and go, you know what, you may not care, but I care. I care about forgiveness because I am forgiven, man.
Yeah.
And to be able to forgive someone,
it's powerful.
What's sad is I can tell you, I thought of multiple instances in my life where I've been wronged, where they have not cared about forgiveness.
Hmm.
And if you stew on it, I'm sure he understands this well. If you stew on that, it will consume you. Hmm. It can destroy you. And that bitterness, once it takes hold, if it is rooted and it just keeps growing and growing, those roots dig down deep and can choke the life out of you.
Hmm.
And so you have to give it to Jesus because I wish in this perfect world, again, in that scenario, that he would just show up and go, dude, I bow before you and I am so sorry. But that day may never come, but you can still show just the power and love of Jesus through forgiving this person.
Amen.
Yeah, man. Powerful. So
that's good.
Shock Therapy Live. It is 9:40. We still got a
Do that. I like that question because it took it from a different angle. You know, we've had a lot of questions about how do I forgive my spouse, but how do you forgive the dirtbag who slept with your wife?
Right. Who isn't even? Who doesn't care?
Yeah.
Who's still a scumbag? And so, oh wow, it is Shock Therapy Live. Pastor Nate Heitzig in studio. Steve Oteo hanging out with you as well, and we would love to chat with you. Maybe through listening to this, it's opened up something in your heart. Maybe there's some bitterness. There's a root of something that you just need to talk through. We're here for you, man. 505-338-3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. You can also chime in on Facebook if you're so bold, because you're putting your dirt out there. Or if you would like to chime in anonymously, you can send us an email, studio@mystaticradio.com. That's studio@mystaticradio.com.
Man. Let's go get tattoos together.
Okay.
I think that'd be fun.
Okay.
I'd get a tattoo with you guys.
What do you want to get?
I don't know.
We just
something that's significant.
I was going to say, we just missed Friday the 13th. Everybody goes out and gets those stupid 13
stupid.
Tattoos.
Yeah. Like something significant. Like something like, I don't know.
Tree holding a gun with like flames instead of leaves.
Like a lightning bolt that says shock therapy.
Ooh. Okay.
Just joking.
Shock therapy live tattoos.
I'm not going to get a shock therapy tattoo.
You don't want to get a shock therapy tattoo? I was sold on it.
Oh, man. For like 0.3 seconds, I really thought no. No.
Yeah?
No!
Why?
You know what I think would be a funny tattoo, radio tattoo to get?
What?
Would be like on air or like live recording, because like you're always like, it's like whenever you're around, it's on air. Like, you know,
the mic is always on.
Always on. Yeah, but that's like trademarked by Fresh Life, so you can't use that.
Is it?
No, it's not. But they used it. They did a big series. The mic is always on, and they like gave everyone little microphone necklaces.
Way back in the day, we used to do a show called Raw Talk, which is kind of this is the evolution of it. I really believe, and it started. I was producing it to begin with Pastor Levi Lesko, and that was we talked about that regularly.
Yeah,
the mic is always.
This is better than that show, though.
Oh, of course.
Way better.
Well, of course. Come on.
It's okay. I'm biased. It's
evolved or adapted, if you will.
No, it's evolved.
Depending upon your theology.
It was a monkey. Now it's a man.
Okay.
Shock Therapy Live. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How are you doing this morning?
Fantastic.
Good. How are you?
Doing great. Hey, man. I just want to tell you guys, I love Shock Therapy.
Oh, thanks, man.
What you guys do is just great.
Right.
But, thanks, bro.
But I just wanted to kind of chime in with my little two cents. Don't mind about that. What that last email was about.
Yeah.
I've read this book before, and I just read it again, and it's a very, very good book, and a very powerful book to help with offenses and forgiveness. And this guy really goes through it all. It's called The Fate of Satan.
It's called what? Like
Fate of Satan by John Brevere.
Look at
and it. He goes through about offenses and forgiving and how we should forgive. It's an extremely interesting book, how he goes through it and what he went through in his life.
That's awesome.
And I think that would really, really help this guy that was emailing in, because he just goes through the scriptures and stuff and explaining how important God put on forgiveness, because that root of bitterness, like you were saying, it will consume you.
Oh, yeah.
It will hold you. And if this is something that he's sitting through a sermon or in church and hearing something, and this is keep popping up, it sounds to me like God is still dealing with him on something, saying, hey, you know what? You need to take those steps.
Yeah.
You need to step up.
Dude.
And make the example.
That makes me think about another book too. Actually, I'm glad you mentioned that, because there's another great book that we actually recommend a lot of times to people who are dealing with forgiveness. It's called Peacemaker. Have you guys read Peacemaker?
I haven't.
Dude, phenomenal book. It talks about peacemaking and forgiveness, and it talks about the responses of a peacemaker and how you can forgive and the different ways in which you can forgive, you know, and it goes all the way from talking to the person, addressing it with the person, to forgetting it, to, you know, just completely dropping it, not holding it against them. Yeah. And it talks about peacemaking and peace faking and the difference between just pretending to forgive and actually forgiving.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic book. And so, man, thank you for bringing that up. That's it's a great resource.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Peacemaker book. Who's the author of that?
Check it out. I think it's Gary Sand.
I
think
it's Sand.
Ken Sand. Yeah, Ken Sand. Ken Sand, Sande. And the book's just called The Peacemaker.
This is
The Peacemaker.
There you go. Resources up in this.
Yeah.
There you go. Thanks for the call, man.
Dude, phenomenal book. Check it out. You'll love it.
Dude, parchments.org, right? Or is it
parchments.com?
Parchments.com.
Parchments is the coolest.
Well, yeah.
I always tell people, honestly, I get questions all the time about weird, like, topics that, like, it's like, topics, anytime you get a question, it's usually about some kind of like a micro topic in the scripture.
Yeah.
And typically, honestly, I find that Parchments has better recommendations than even I do. And so typically when someone says, hey, how do you answer this question? I oftentimes will tell them, hey, go to Parchments and ask them for a book on that. They're going to be able to give you a better recommendation than I will.
Absolutely.
Because they know their stuff. They read those books, they review those books, and they're just such a blessing to have right here on this campus. It's like a library.
Dude, I love it. Yeah, you can check it out right here, 4001 Osuna Road Northeast. It's our bookstore on the campus, and I'm there on the huge. I think Chrissy is like getting ready to cut me off from going there, because it seems like anytime, whether it's Shock Therapy Live or Theology Thursday, a resource happens, I'm like, I need to read that book. I got a stack of 30 books on my
bedside. And they sell vinyl
like,
records.
What?
Dude, that's where I got my Hillsong vinyl records from.
Oh, dude, stop talking. I didn't know they sold vinyl.
Yeah.
Oh, where's that?
Huh?
Like in the corner or what?
Well, so they used to have more. Right now, I think the only vinyl they've got right now is Zion, Hillsong Zion.
Okay.
United Zion on vinyl.
Which is still my favorite.
It's a fantastic record.
Absolutely.
It's a double disc vinyl. It's 180 gram.
Wow.
Crap. It's a good vinyl.
You know, they
we're pressing the Battle Drums on vinyl.
Nice.
We're getting it mixed at the Mastering Lab out in L.A., and we're going to have it mastered and put on vinyl.
Dude, speaking of rad worship, we want to mention coming up for Palm Sunday, special guest worship here.
City Harmonic.
No, that's Easter.
That's Easter.
Palm Sunday.
Stephen Christian.
Stephen Christian's going to be like warming up the crowd for the City Harmonic.
We're going to have him.
Some great worship.
Did you hear that song we wrote for Reload Love?
No.
It's we wrote a song for Reload Love for the Reload Love weekend called Army of Love.
Okay. Oh,
like,
yes.
We
okay.
are an army. Yes. We mm-hmm. aren't. So, Aaron, we're doing battle drums. We're gifting that to Reload Love, and Aaron Gillespie's going to produce it for us, and we're going to have Stephen Christian sing it for us.
Awesome.
Nice. And so then we're going to give it away for free for a donation of any amount to
Stephen Christian?
Yeah, dude. So that'll be a fun little thing to do.
Frontman of Amberlin, Anchor and Braille, and he will be here for Palm Sunday weekend, the 28th and 29th.
And for all you Amberlin fans out there, he might be playing a couple Amberlin tunes.
Really?
So you might want to be there if you're like if you've been itching for Amberlin, and you know they're not touring anymore.
I know.
If you
done.
Come, you might hear a couple awesome Amberlin songs.
Oh my gosh! I was already jazzed.
Crazy.
So dude. It's going to be good.
Good
yeah,
time.
That's coming up the 28th and 29th of this month. Mark it on your calendar. Really excited about that. A lot of great stuff, dude. We have Tam in every single week on Tuesdays for Quality Tam Tuesday from Battle Drums Worship. And worship, the experience here is just incredible. I'm loving dude. What's going on. So
it's fun, man. Good times.
Yeah. Gillespie.
This is going to be fun. So we're releasing the CD, and we're planning a series after Jesus Loves People that we're going to take like a 7-week series. My dad's going to pick his 7 favorite songs and do a sermon on each song.
I love
and
it.
And then play a music video of that song so people can hear that song in the sanctuary.
Nice. I like having you on the morning show because you just totally like, it's like, this is top secret. I'm just going to tell everybody now, though.
Yeah.
So I'm like, cool. Let's keep talking about this. All right. Pastor Nate Heitzig in studio. It is Shock Therapy Live. We have a few minutes left if you'd like to chime
email
in. Email question. studio@mystaticradio.com. What we got?
It's mystical.
Ooh, in nature?
Mystical. Could God make a rope with only one end? Go.
Yes.
Could God make a rope with only one end?
Yes.
But why would he?
Because one side's the beginning and one side's the end.
Think about it. I emailed him back and said, only God can answer this question. You should ask him.
Wouldn't that be a lasso? Because lassos only have one end, right? Or does it not count because it's tied together? Because if you look at Wonder Woman's lasso, this is a comics corner question.
I feel like that's an eternity question.
Lasso of truth, there's only
beginning,
one
end. No end. He created eternity, and that has no beginning and no end.
But yeah, that's true.
So
oh my gosh.
So really, the question is, can God make an eternity rope?
Eternity rope.
Or soap on a rope, because that only has one end.
I feel like an eternity rope, that's like the name of like a weapon that's like
military school person.
Eternity rope is the name of like a weapon that Wonder Woman would use.
That's what we're saying, the eternity lasso of truth. That's what she uses.
She has the lasso of truth.
Hmm.
Dude, the way, the truth, and the life.
I have.
To the Father, but through the lasso of truth.
I think it would have been cooler if it was called the lasso of strangulation. That would have been a better superhero weapon.
That's a different. I am so glad you are not an author. That is a terrible, terrible description.
Wonder Woman grabs the lasso of strangulation and strangles a bad guy.
But she doesn't.
She doesn't strangle.
She doesn't kill people, man.
She
gets the truth.
That's how
out
you differentiate the good from the bad. Is they don't murder people.
Good, bad. It's all relative.
Oh my gosh! And speaking of, coming up April 2nd, John C. Lennox, world-renowned mathematician and apologist, will be on the show talking about.
Hey, don't you talk about theology Thursday and shock therapy?
Oh my gosh.
Oh, man. It's like your kids, you know? It's like you just got to give all the attention to one right now. And
that's right.
It's on Thursdays from 9 to 10. Details.
I'm going to punch Theology Thursday in the face.
MyStaticRadio.com. That's MyStaticRadio.com. Don't forget, coming up in April, we are going to have an actual physical MMA match between Brian Nixon and Pastor Nate Heitzig.
I'll win.
My money is on Nate because Benix is a pacifist.
Well, what we're going to do is you guys are going to fight, and then on the next Theology Thursday, we're going to talk about nonviolence,
the ramifications
and the
of
Christian
a
approach. But on Shock Therapy Live, we're going to talk
part
about
of that conversation.
The social
aspects
of fighting and how that affected the people around us.
Can we get, you said you could just ask and have people come in. Can we get John Jones to come in on Shock Therapy Live sometime?
I bet we could, we've talked to Ricky from Jackson's Gym about having him on the show before.
Like, you've talked to him for like 3 years about
having
him on the show before.
That's true.
Ricky Cotton said
things happened. Things came out.
Thanks for hooking us up with that one.
His publicist is like, well, maybe not right now.
Ricky's given all. Rick Ricky's giving all the love to the Edge. Nothing to us.
Yeah, there you go.
Sorry, I'm too busy hanging out with Buck and Dex to hang out with you guys.
MyStaticRadio.com/ShockTherapyLive if you miss any part of the show. You can always download the podcast. And again, if...
Hey, Dex, if you're listening to this podcast,
he does
tell Ricky to, week. Like, stinking... Get us somebody cool to come on the show.
It's going to happen now because he does that.
So that's what's going to happen. We've asked Ricky, so now we're going to ask Dex to ask Ricky, and it'll happen.
Incredible. Man.
It's a good
plan. Oh, man.
It's
great. If we didn't have a chance to get to your question, we answered all the email questions. We did. So I'm excited. We got through it, guys.
Look at that.
Studio@mystaticradio.com.
The only reason we got through all the questions is because no one likes us enough to talk to us.
Maybe this show has spawned something in
except for that one guy.
You need
one
an
guy.
Answer. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, one dude.
Thanks, one guy.
Thanks, one dude, for providing the resource. And again, resources.
Thanks Passion
galore.
One guy.
Parchments.com, or just come on down 4001 Osuna Road Northeast, the bookstore here. The chances are you'll run into one of us because we're regularly there.
Probably not me, though.
Thanks, man.
Exciting I wear stuff. Camouflage whenever I go out in public.
It's to pick up his Phil Robertson book, his favorite show in the world, Duck Dynasty. It's good, man.
Sweet tea.
Up next, Middays with Mitch. We are on out. We'll see you again next week for Shock Therapy Live.
I'm going to go shoot a deer.
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, Puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.